Lord, be our strength in all situations. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Those who could bring the offering would come forward. The kids could be dismissed for Kids Corner.
I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to the Old Testament again. We've been there for a little while, but we're going back and we're going to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we encourage you to turn to chapter 22 of the book of Genesis this morning. Chapter 22. I'd like us to pray together once again as we look into God's Word this morning. Lord, thank you that we can be here today, and we thank you for your presence here. And we thank you, Lord, for your desire to speak to each one of us at this time through your word. We thank you, Lord, as the book of Hebrews tells us, your word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It's able to pierce the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And I thank you, Lord, that you desire to use your word in our lives today. And I pray that you would use it in the measure that we need it to be used, where we stand today before you. So we thank you for this time, in Jesus' name, amen. The other day I was reflecting on my Christian life, and you know, that's a pretty good thing to do every so often, is just to take some time and think back of when you came to trust Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And as I thought of that, I thought to myself, well, my Christian life has been longer than most gathered here. And that's because I'm older than most of you, and that's because I became a follower before many of you were even born. That's scary, isn't it? And as I thought of my journey with Christ for over 5 decades, I wonder, does there ever come a time when the trials of life come to an end? Does there ever come a time when the trials of life come to an end? Is there ever a time when God will say to me, okay, Ed, that's enough. You can live the rest of your life, the rest of your days, trial free. No more testing of your faith. No more suffering. No more worries or cares. Just sunny skies and easy, pleasurable days until I come to take you home. Well, as I thought about that and the possibility of it, it didn't take me long to come to my senses. After all, the scriptures reveal to us that the trials and the testings of life that we all face are all a part of God's plan for our lives. And the day that we will be finally free of them will be the day He takes us home to our heavenly home. I also remembered one of my favorite Bible characters, Abraham, and how he, even as he became an old man, experienced the greatest trial and testing of his life. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, we read, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Wow. Now, if I were Abraham, I probably would have responded something like this. Excuse me, Lord? I think we have a bad connection. Shh. I'm losing you, Lord. Shh. Are you still there? Shh. As most of us are aware, this was not the first time in Abraham's walk with God that he was tested by the Lord. Throughout his life of faith, his faith was tested. First, he experienced the family test. Do you remember that? God told him, Abraham, I want you to take all of your belongings and I want you to go to the land that I have promised. Abraham didn't have any idea where that was, but he said, I want you to go. And Abraham passed that test and he went. And then there was the famine test that followed. Abraham didn't pass that test. He ended up going to Egypt to look for help. But once he got back in the land, he had another test. He and his nephew Lot were together, if you remember, and their herds had grown greatly, and Abraham's shepherds and Lot's shepherds, they weren't getting along too well. But the land was big. And Abraham said, the land is before us. You take whatever you want. And Lot took, of course, the land of the plain, the land of green fields and beautiful land. And Abraham had the rocky land, but he passed that test of faith. He also passed a fight test. If you remember, he defeated the kings of the plain. And he also had to deal with the test of money and fortune, and he passed that test because he could have been tempted to Sodom's wealth, but he said no to it. But he failed, if you remember, the fatherhood test. Remember that test? Sarah, his wife. God had promised Abraham, you know, I'm going to give you a son who will be a blessing to all the nations. Well, Sarah had gotten impatient with God, and she suggested that Abraham have a child with her servant, Hagar. And sure enough, Abraham agreed, and he failed that test. But then, when it came time for Ishmael, who was born out of that relationship, to be sent away, Abraham passed that test, even though it broke his heart to send Ishmael away. Now, as we look at Abraham's life, I believe it's important that through Abraham's life, for us to understand that not every difficult experience in life is necessarily a personal test from God. Sometimes our own disobedience causes pain or disappointment, as it did with Abraham in Egypt and Abraham in Ishmael. Sometimes our hurts are simply a part of our normal life. Life changes around us. And because of this, we must make painful adjustments in our lives. It's also important to distinguish between trials and temptations. They're different. Temptations come, as James chapter 1, chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 tells us, from our desires from within, while trials come from the Lord, who has a special purpose in sending them to fulfill in our lives. Temptations are used by the devil to bring out the worst in us, but trials, they're used by the Holy Spirit to bring out the best in us. They're used by the Holy Spirit to help us to grow closer to the Lord, to grow in our faith. Temptations seem logical, don't they, at the time? I mean, it seemed logical to Abraham, okay, yeah, God hasn't blessed, maybe He'll give me a son through Hagar. Oh, there was a son, all right. But it was not the son that God had planned. Temptation seemed logical, while trials seemed so unreasonable. Why would God give Abraham a son and then ask him to kill his own son? That seems unreasonable, doesn't it? All of us, as believers, face similar temptations to sin, as 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 informs us. But not all believers experience the same trials of faith. If you've noticed that, we don't all experience the same trials. God's testing of each of us are tailor-made. They're made for each child of God, and each experience is unique. You know, God never asked Lot, Abraham's nephew, to face the same test that Abraham faced. Why? Well, because Lot was being tempted by the world and the flesh there in Sodom, and he never grew to the place of maturity that Abraham reached. I read this by one writer. He said, in one sense, it's a compliment when God sends a test. It shows that God wants to promote us in the school of faith. God never sends a test until He knows we are ready for it. One of the lessons that we must learn is that we should expect trials from God. Because the Christian life is not designed to be an easy life. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. James chapter 1, verse 2, we are told to consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, God uses the testing to grow us, mature in our faith and our relationship with Him. French mystic Madame Guyon wrote, in the commencement of the spiritual life, our hardest task is to bear with our neighbor, in its progress with ourselves, and in its end with God. Our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems to be unbearable, to do what seems to be unreasonable, and to expect what seems to be impossible. Whether you look at Joseph in prison, Moses in Israel at the Red Sea with the Egyptians bearing down on them, David in a cave hiding from King Saul who was trying to kill him, or Jesus on the cross at Calvary, the lesson is the same. For those of us who follow Christ, we live by promises, not by explanations. We live by promises, not by explanations. I want you to think for a moment how unreasonable God's request of Abraham was. Isaac was his only son. The future of God's promises rested in him. Isaac was a miracle child. The gift of God to Abraham and Sarah in response to their faith. Abraham and Sarah, they loved Isaac very much, and they built their whole future around that child. And so when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, he was testing Abraham's faith. He was testing Abraham's hope in the future. He was testing Abraham's love for him. As it looked like, God was wiping out everything that Abraham and Sarah had lived for. When God sends a trial, our first response many times is usually something like this: "Why, Lord?" Or, "Why me?" Right away, we want God to give us an explanation for why He is allowing us to go through this time of hardship, this time of problem. Of course, we know God has His reasons for allowing these things. Perhaps it is to purify our faith, as 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 talks about. Maybe it's to perfect our character, as we saw there in James chapter 1, or even to protect us in some way, as 2 Corinthians 12 talks about. But often, we fail to see how these things apply to us in the moment. The fact that we ask God to explain His reasoning for the tests suggests that we probably don't know ourselves as much as we think we do, or God as we should. Abraham, on the other hand, heard God's word, and he immediately obeyed in faith. He knew that God's will never contradicts God's promises. Do you know that? God's will never contradicts His promises. And so Abraham held on to the promise made to him in Genesis chapter 21, verse 12, where God said to him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." As Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 17 to 19 clearly reveals, Abraham believed that even if God allowed him to follow through and sacrifice his son, Abraham believed that God could raise him from the dead. Faith does not demand explanations. Faith rests on God's promises. And so in chapter 22, verse 5, after Abraham traveled to Moriah, he told his two servants, "I want you to stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will travel a little further. We'll worship there, and then we'll come right back." Because he believed God, Abraham had no intentions of bringing back a corpse. In Hebrews 11, verses 9 through 19, it is pointed out, it gives kind of a synopsis of Abraham's life. Abraham believed God and obeyed God when he did not know where in the world he was going, but God told him to go. Abraham believed God and obeyed God when he did not know when God would give him a son. When he did not know how God was going to do it when they were so old. And when he did not know why God would want him to take his son and sacrifice him. In spite of all that, Abraham believed God. True Bible faith is confident obedience in God's word in spite of the circumstances that we might be faced with or the consequences that might result in our obeying God. Abraham had that kind of faith. And as a result, he knew he could depend on God's provision. And there are two statements in this text in chapter 22 that reveal the main emphasis of the passage. In verse 8 we read, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. He's speaking to Isaac because Isaac said, okay, Dad, we got everything. We got the wood for the altar. We got the, you know, to start the fire. Everything's ready. Where's the sheep? And Abraham said, God will provide the sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And then they both walked on together. And then later, in verse 14, we read, Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain, of the Lord, it will be provided. Well, as Abraham and Isaac climbed Mount Moriah, Abraham was confident that God would meet every need. On what could Abraham depend? Why was Abraham confident? On what could he depend that day? He certainly could not depend on his feelings. I mean, think of it for a moment. He had faith, but if he must have felt a bit sick in his gut, if as he contemplated the fact of, well, what if the Lord does have me kill him? What if the Lord does have me sacrifice my son on the altar? I mean, he loved his only son, but he also loved God. And he wanted to obey him. Abraham could not depend on other people. In fact, he didn't tell Sarah what he was up to. Can you imagine if he told his wife? By the way, God told me to sacrifice Isaac. I'll see you later, you know. No. And he just told his two servants that he left at the bottom of the mountain that he and Isaac would return shortly. No one else knew the purpose of his trip up the mountain. Not even Isaac. Only God and Abraham did. We all thank our friends and family who can and often do help us carry our burdens, but there are some trials in life that we must face alone. And this was one that Abraham had to face alone. It's only then that we can clearly see what our Heavenly Father can do for us. Abraham could depend on the promises and the provision of the Lord. As Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20 explain, he had already experienced the resurrection power of God in his body. As God enabled him, a man of 100 years old, and his wife Sarah, a woman of 90, to have a child. And so he knew that God could raise Isaac from the dead if that was his plan. And this is not something that happened on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, Bible scholars tell us that there were no resurrections had taken place before this time. And so Abraham was exercising great faith in God. Here's some good news. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and also in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, believers today, those of us who in faith have trusted our lives to Christ, we have Christ's resurrection power available to us as we yield to the Holy Spirit. We can experience the power of Christ's resurrection as we face the trials of life. When the situation appears to be hopeless, ask yourself, is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. And remember, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, when they reached the place that God told them about, Abraham prepared everything for the sacrifice. He built the altar. He arranged the wood for the fire. And then what did he do? He bound his son Isaac up and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he took out his knife in order to kill Isaac And in verses 11 and 12 we read, "At that moment the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, 'Abraham! Abraham!' 'Yes, Abraham,' replied, 'here I am. Where have you been?'" You know, "'Don't lay your hand on that boy. Do not hurt him in any way. For I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." And then we're told in verse 13, God provided a needed sacrifice. "And then Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. And so he took the ram and he sacrificed it as an offering in the place of his son." As a result of God's provision, Abraham gave God a new name, Jehovah Jireh, which can be translated, "The Lord provides," or "The Lord will see to it," or "The Lord is seen." God our Father cares and provides for His children. And today, you know, unfortunately, some people have a distorted view of our Heavenly Father because their earthly fathers did not provide for them. And although there are many reasons an earthly father may fail as a provider, God our Father never, ever fails. He always provides for His children. He always meets His children's needs at the right time and the right place. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." He will be there when we need Him. Now, this does not mean that we're to give God a shopping list of everything that we want in life and expect Him to supply it. What it does mean is that as we choose to put Him at the center of our lives, He will always provide what we need no matter what trial we're going through. It could be a spiritual trial. It could be emotional. It could be relational or physical or financial tests that come into our lives. He understands our needs better than we do. And He truly cares. God will always provide His presence, His love, and He will always do it consistently. He will never, ever abandon us. Where does the Lord provide our needs? I believe He provides them in the place of assignment. Abraham was at the right place. He had obeyed God. And so God could meet His needs. We have no right to expect the provision of God if we are not in the will of God. We have no right to expect God's provision if we are living in disobedience. When does God meet our needs? Just when we need it. Not a minute before. We know from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Sometimes it looks like God waits until the last minute to send help. But that's only from our human perspective. You see, God is never, ever late. How does God provide for us? Well, He provides in ways that are, I think, usually quite natural. Notice God did not send an angel to hand carry a sacrifice to Abraham. He didn't bring a gift wrap sacrifice so that Abraham could sacrifice it there on the altar. He simply allowed a ram to get caught in a nearby bush at a time when Abraham needed it and in a place where Abraham could get his hands on it. All Abraham needed was one animal. So God didn't send a whole flock of sheep, did He? just one animal. To whom does God give his provision? He gives it to those who trust him and obey his instructions. That's key. He provides for those who trust him and obey his instructions. When we're doing the will of God, we have every right. We have every right to expect the provision of God when we're doing the will of God. Maybe you've heard the old saying, when God's work is done in God's way, it will not lack God's support. See, God is not obligated in any way to support work or our lives if things are not being done His way. And finally, why does God provide for our need? Well, He provides for the great glory of His name. God was glorified on Mount Moriah that day because His servants, Abraham and Isaac, did the will of the Lord. And ultimately, we will see next Sunday, they glorified Jesus Christ. Abraham's life reveals to us that we're never too old to be tested by the Lord. And that his intentions in testing us and allowing us to go through certain trials is to strengthen our faith in him as our provider, no matter what we're faced with. What are you going through now? Have you, like Abraham, in faith, obeyed God's word? That's the key to God's provision. If you have, trust me with this, it won't be long. He will provide for your needs no matter how overwhelming your situation might seem at the time. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at Abraham's life, he lived a long time ago, Lord. But Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never, ever change. You're consistent with who you are in your person. And we thank you, Lord, that as we have seen in Abraham's life, if we too obey you and in faith trust you, Lord, you will provide for all of our needs. And I pray for those here today gathered in this place who are maybe going through some deep and difficult struggles in their lives at this time. Lord, you know everything that they're going through. And you know, Lord, just when you will provide. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the fact, Lord, that there might be those here today who are going through things because, Lord, of their own disobedience, because of their own sin. But I'm thankful, Lord, that your word promises that if we confess our sin, you are faithful. You are just. And you will forgive us of our sin and you will cleanse us from unrighteousness. So I pray for any of those here today, Lord, who are going through trials because of their own sin, because they've fallen into temptation. I pray, God, that they might know your forgiveness. And Lord, in response, that they might obey you. And that you might guide and direct provide for them as well. We thank you, Lord, for how good you are to us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you please stand. God sent his